poetic. But what does it mean?
You'll want to be sure to catch the rest of Pastor Terry's message in just a moment. But first, we want to thank you for tuning in to the Indian Run Christian Church broadcast with pastor and author Terry Bailey. This broadcast is also produced as a free podcast, which you can find on iTunes or become a subscriber through our website. We'll have more information at the end of the broadcast, but for right now, let's join Pastor Terry as he preaches this insightful message.
Today we're going to talk about one of the tenets of Christianity. You probably caught this from the verse read earlier, but we are going to talk about faith. What is faith? I mean, we read the answer to that earlier, right? Faith is being confident in what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. You know, I imagine that a lot of you who grew up in church memorized that verse when you were little kids, right? It's pretty. It's poetic. But what does it mean? I'm going to come back to that. Hebrews 11, otherwise known as the faith chapter, was referred to at my Bible college as the Hall of Fame of Faith, mostly because it's one big list of all the most famous people in the Old Testament with brief descriptions of what they did to become so famous. So we're going to take a look at a couple of them. Specifically, I want to look at the group known as the Patriarchs of Israel, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So what does Hebrews have to say about Abraham? By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place that he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the Promised Land. Like a stranger in a foreign country, he lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. It goes on like that for a little bit, talking about the attempted sacrifice of Isaac and his eventual descendants. But what else do we remember from the story of Abraham? You know, not long after he left the land of Chaldees on his voyage to the Promised Land, he found himself in Egypt during a famine. There he was afraid that Pharaoh was going to kill him and take Sarah away from him because his wife was beautiful. So he told Pharaoh that Sarah was his sister, which, you know, wasn't exactly technically a lie. But he allowed Pharaoh to take Sarah. God wasn't very happy about that. But he delivered Abraham and Sarah from Egypt for the sake of his covenant with them. Not long after that, Sarah convinced Abraham that she was never going to have her promised son. So she told him to take her handmaiden, Hagar, as a wife, and have a child with her instead, giving birth to Ishmael. And Israel is still paying the price for that decision. And these are just some of the most famous ways in which Abraham failed to uphold his end of the covenant. Now, all Hebrews says directly about Isaac is verse 20. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. It's short, but it's kind of fitting since, you know, Isaac's story is hardly present at all in Genesis compared to Abraham and Jacob. But here is one story that we know about Isaac, and you can stop me if this sounds familiar. There was famine in the land. Isaac spent some time living in the land of the Philistines. There he became afraid that the Philistine men would kill him and take his wife away from him because she was beautiful. And so he told them all that she was his sister. Apple doesn't fall very far from the tree. Then there's Jacob. We don't have time to talk about all of the things that Jacob did, but let's just say that before he was a fully grown man, he had stolen both the birthright of inheritance and the blessing of God from his brother. Then he runs away to live with his uncle, and within 14 years, he leaves Laban's land, taking with him both of Laban's daughters and almost all of Laban's wealth. So basically what I'm saying is that all of the patriarchs were fine, upstanding men who were completely above reproach. You couldn't find a single fault with the way they chose to live their lives. What about some of the other people that are talked about in Hebrews? Verse 32, and what more shall I say? I don't have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets. That's quite a list, right? Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, Samuel, David, tyrant, coward, drunkard, child killer, failed father, adulterer, murderer. The Faith Hall of Fame, or maybe more accurate, would be the Faith Hall of Shame. Why in the world did God use these people? These broken, twisted, fallen people. There's a section in the book of Jeremiah that I always appreciate. God gives Jeremiah this message. He says you have to go to all of Israel and all the surrounding lands, and you got to bring this message of destruction. God is going to come through like a whirlwind. He's just going to wipe all these people off the face of the earth. And Jeremiah says, God, I know you have the power to do whatever you want. Why don't you just go through Israel, get rid of all the evil men, and let us good people live in peace? And God says, Jeremiah, if I did that, if I went through Israel and just killed all of the evil people, there would be no people left in Israel. God uses the broken. God uses the twisted and the fallen, because that's what kind of people there are. If he used only the righteous, he would use nobody. All right, now that I'm done ranting at you, let me tell you about faith. Starting again at verse 32 and moving on. And what more shall I say? I don't have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, and David, and Samuel, and the prophets, who, through faith, conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskin and goatskin, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in the desert and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, and yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. I promised I'd get back to this. What do those confusing statements at the beginning of Hebrews 11 mean? Sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. They both come down to one simple thing. And that is, trust in God. We can't always see God, and we can't always see the plans of God in motion. But we trust that God has everything under control. Yeah, Abraham messed up. But he heard the voice of God, and he packed up his whole family and everything he owned, and he wandered into the wilderness because he knew that there was a plan for him. And our hope, we have such a great hope. Since sin first came to be, man has not been allowed truly into the presence of God. But through the sacrifice of Christ, we are offered what has been denied to men since Adam and Eve walked the earth. True connection with God. No longer kept apart from our Creator and Lord. A hope that we can be sure of because we know that God always keeps His promises. Keep your faith. I know that sometimes it can be difficult to not question, but be certain that God knows this as well, and He has set an example for us so that we can hope and trust and not be discouraged. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinners, that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Faith. To know that God exists, and to believe that He has offered great things to us.
We want to take a moment to thank all of you, our listeners, for setting aside time each week for the Indian Run Christian Church broadcast on this station. You can find out more about the church with a quick visit to our website at www.christforeastcanton.com. On behalf of Pastor Terry and all the folks at Indian Run Christian Church, I pray God's blessing on you and your family.